Understood just how much the Lord wanted to bless us,
yeah,
and to be a part of us. I think we wouldn't sing "Fill My Cup," but we'd sing "Fill My Truck." Fill my truck.
Yeah.
You know, if Walmart didn't it start right over here in Bentonville, Arkansas? I think it's where Walmart was started. You know, if I sound Walton's boy. I went to Walmart, I wouldn't get that great value stuff. I get the real Doritos. When you walk in there at Walmart, Sam Walton's boy, you know, that greeter trying to stop you from getting something off the shelf, they say, you better watch that Sam's Walton boy. If he wants some chips, he can have them chips.
That's right.
Amen. And if that's true with Sam Walton's boy, how much more is it true with our Father?
Correct.
Amen. And he has a storehouse, an arcade full of blessings.
Yes.
That's ours if we'll just claim them.
Amen.
And just allow him to live through us.
Yeah.
Oh, what a privilege it is, friends.
Amen.
I certainly enjoyed being here with you this weekend. And I know you could had a lot of, there's a great man of God out on the field preaching today. And I know you could had him to come by, but you allowed us to come, and we certainly appreciate that. And I want to thank you for the room that you gave us, Brother Tony, to rest in. And I want to thank you all, the sisters, for the food today. It was wonderful. And my thought, I wish to probably got another helping if I wasn't preaching. It was really, well, I did get another helping, I have to confess. It was really, really good. We certainly appreciate that. And may God bless you richly for all that you've done for us. And if you don't mind, just put my sister Judy Archer on your prayer list. She's battling a sarcoma of the liver, and they turned her over to hospice and gave her about 90 days to live. But you know, that's what the doctors say, but we've got another report.
That's right.
We just look to the Lord. You know what he's able to do. Me and Brother Tony was just sharing back in the study there a while ago of some of the things that we've seen the Lord do, and God at any moment can change the situation. So we just want to be found believing. But I know she would appreciate you all praying for her, and we thank you for doing that. And may God richly bless you, be our prayer. And if we sing no more on this side, I believe with all my heart it won't be long that we'll all be gathering over there.
Amen.
You know, you can miss a lot of things in this life, but don't miss that, friends. There's nothing on this earth worth missing that over.
Amen.
Let us give everything to him and just surrender everything to him. Because I believe with all my heart the rapture is right at hand. And you know, the things that the prophet told us that would come to pass, the condition of our nation, the insanity of our nation, and wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and earthquakes and all the things that the Bible prophesied would happen, we see that those things are happening.
That's right.
And the same God that told us those things would happen also said, when those things begin to happen, then lift up your hands,
yes,
for your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
So we certainly know that it's just right at the door. Amen. And if we don't see you no more here, we'll be looking for you over there. But because by his grace, and only by his grace, will we be there. May God richly bless you. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn with us to the book of 1 Peter. We want to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, and starting at verse 8. And have maybe just a wee bit of an unusual text tonight, but we trust it to be a blessing to you.
Yes.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 8. Now, I'm going to read from the King James Version, and if it's okay, I'd like to also read the same scripture from the Amplified Bible, because sometimes it just brings it out just a little bit more clearer, and I'm just an old hillbilly, and so sometimes I need all the help I can get. But we'd like to do that also, if that would be okay. But the Bible says this in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, the Amplified Bible says this: "Be sober, well balanced, self-disciplined." Well, I tell you what, this generation could learn that, didn't
it? Yes.
Amen. Self-disciplined. "Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour." Verse 9 says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And once again, the Amplified Bible says, "But resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack. Rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone." Amen. 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you." Amen. What a promise. Let us bow our heads. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes this evening on how to stop a roaring line. Heavenly Father, Thy word is true. We commit this congregation and ourselves into Your hands for Your glory in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now the Bible tells us in St. John 10:10, He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now, I want you to understand this afternoon that you have an enemy.
Yes.
And that enemy has a desire. There is walking among us tonight a thief. You say, "Oh my goodness, I better go make sure my car is locked. And I wonder if maybe we need to alert the police." But listen, this thief that I'm talking about this evening, he doesn't want your car. He don't want your money. He's not after your iPhone. He wants you.
Amen.
Jesus said the thief cometh not but for one reason. That's to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You say, "Oh, Brother Darrell, you know, I'm the least of the least of the least. He won't come after me." But I'm here to tell you tonight, He will come. Amen. He does want you.
That's
Jesus
right.
said the thief cometh, period.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. He didn't say He comes for the young and not the old. He cometh, period. Amen. He wants to rob you of your health. He wants to rob you of your blessings.
Right.
He wants to rob you of your joy, your peace, your family. He wants your sons. He wants your daughters. Amen. He wants your friends. He wants you.
Right.
Amen. For Satan has a desire. There's something that he wants to achieve. He wants to rob you of every redemptive blessing that Jesus Christ died to secure for you.
Yeah.
His desire for you is to destroy you.
Yeah.
He wants you, amen. He wants to take you off the word and keep you from coming to your position.
Amen.
Let me say that again. He wants to take you off the word and to keep you from coming to your position. Because you see, as we've said in these services, these last few services, if you don't know who you are, then you don't know where you come from and you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
But if you know who you are in the Word, you have a firm foundation.
Amen.
So what does Satan want to do? He wants to do anything that he can to keep us from coming to that Word that God has ordained for us in this hour.
Yeah.
You see, Wesley fulfilled their day, Luther fulfilled his day,
yeah.
but we must fulfill our day. Amen.
Yeah.
You see, Satan don't care if we get a sensation. He don't care if you get a goosebump or a feeling. But he doesn't want us to use the word that's been given to us. He doesn't want us to use the word that's been given to us. Because it's the word of God that will defeat Satan anytime, any place, and anywhere.
Amen.
Now we find that Satan uses fear. He uses scarecrows. He uses cages and symptoms and reasons. He uses bluffs. In fact, the prophet of God said, "Don't let the devil put one thing over on you. He's nothing but a bluff."
Amen.
Satan is nothing but a bluff. He hasn't got one legal power. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He stripped him of everything that he had.
Amen.
The only thing that he's got tonight is a bluff.
That's
the
right.
only thing that Satan has tonight is a bluff. Amen. Brother Bram said, "Satan don't have one right for nothing. He's only a bluff." He was stripped of everything he had at Calvary when Jesus died, taking the sinner's place. And died at Calvary. Satan has no legal rights over nothing no more. Hallelujah. But everything lays in the hands of the church and the believer. Amen. So what are you saying? I'm simply saying this, that everything Satan doesn't have, you do have. Oh, I said everything that Satan doesn't have, you have, amen. So then you see his attack, the prophet said. His attack is what? To disbelieve God's word.
Yeah.
Amen. That's his attack, see? There, can you see the greatest battle that's ever fought? There's only two forces, Satan and God. And what is Satan's weapon against you is to try to get you to disbelieve your weapon. He disarms you. He says, "Listen, real quiet now, see? Listen, if he can get you to disbelieve your weapon or believe that it's equivalent, if he gets you to believe that your weapon is not strong enough, he has disarmed you." He's disarmed you. When he gets you to disbelieve that weapon, when you lay that weapon down, that finishes your fight. You're done, see? Hold that weapon. Do not lay it down.
Amen.
Amen. That's it, see? Satan has lost. He's nothing but a bluff.
Right.
But what will he do? He'll try to convince you that the word for this hour is not good enough, that we need something else. We need to add to it or take something away from it. I say, no, we don't.
Yeah,
let's just say it the way that God gave it to us.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
God vindicated it and proved it to be the truth. We don't need to add something to it. No. I don't need to take something. I just need to live it. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Brother Bennett preached this message and he lived this message. It preached, it produced Christ in his life. It produced Christ in his ministry. And if we do the same thing, it'll do the same thing for us. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Amen. Even death itself, as we was taught them, said that the bee loses its stinger. It's still a bee, but it ain't got no sting. And death has no sting to the believer.
Yeah.
His stinger's gone. Amen. Death is singing around you and say, well, this is the end of your road. But a believer can point to Calvary and say, that may be true, but there is a resurrection. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. One of the best examples we find of Satan's bluffs. Because remember, he's nothing but a bluff. He has no weapon. The only weapon he has is to convince you that your weapon won't work.
Right.
Think about that now. So one of the best examples in the Bible of Satan's bluff is in the scriptures we read tonight. Be sober, well-balanced, self-disciplined, alert, cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Satan has no more power, only as he can bluff with it. See, if Satan can bluff you into it, all right, you'll have to have it.
Yeah.
Remember the prophet God talked about the rocks, the box of rattlesnakes that comes to your door and it's got your name on it. And the UPS guy, you know, is trying to get you to receive this box of rattlesnakes. But the prophet said, if you don't sign for it, he can't leave them at your door.
That's right.
But if Satan can get you to sell hell, the doctor says it's the worst case I've ever seen. I better sign. If you sign for it, that's what you've got.
Right.
But if that's true about a box of rattlesnakes, would not it be true about every blessing of God?
Yeah.
When the God's blessings comes to your door and it's got your name on it, if you'll receive it,
yeah,
it's yours, amen.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. So what does Satan try to get us to do to keep us from receiving what God's already done for us?
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Think about that. If he can convince you, if he can convince you that those snakes belong to you, you'll have it.
Yeah.
Well, if that's true about snakes,
sure,
so will it be true. You know, the prophet of God talked about ABC. He said before you can ever be healed, it has to be ABC.
That's
you
right.
Have to accept it, believe it, and confess it.
Amen.
Accept it, believe it, and confess it.
Amen.
Amen. So when blessings come to your door, sign for them.
Amen.
Accept them.
Yes.
Believe them. And confess them, amen.
Amen.
Amen. He has no power. Satan has no power. The only strength Satan has is the strength you give him by yielding to his bluff.
Yes.
Amen. You know, I was talking about Shamgar this morning, and I was thinking about that. Do you know when the Philistines come in, do you know what Shamgar was doing year after year after year? He was feeding his enemy. And I wonder how many times we feed our enemy with negative talk.
Yes.
Well, I'm no good. God don't love me. God don't care for me. I've got all these problems. We're speaking the devil's language.
That's right.
You're feeding your enemy. I say, let's don't feed him. Let's starve him to death.
Amen.
If we're going to say anything, let's say what the word says.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The only strength he has is you give him by yielding to his bluff. But legally, he has no power at all. Every power he had was taken from him at Calvary. That's where the price was paid. He's nothing but a bluff. If you want to listen to his bluff, well, all right. But you don't have to.
Amen.
You're free tonight.
Yep.
He has made you free.
Amen.
Amen. You see, Satan is not a roaring lion.
No.
No, he's not. But he mimics a lion who is on the prowl. What is he doing? It's a bluff.
Yep.
He's nothing but a bluff. Does not the Bible say as a roaring lion? He didn't say he was a roaring lion,
right,
but he acts, he mimics as a roaring lion. Walking about, seeking, continually in motion, looking, searching, seeking to take advantage of opportunities.
Yep.
But Peter says for us to be sober, be vigilant, because you are subject at any time to come under a lion attack.
Amen.
But not only does Peter make us aware of Satan's attack, but he also tells us what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what I like.
Yeah.
I like a preacher. Don't just tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Tell me how I can change.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when an attack comes, Peter told us what to do when the attack comes, because it will come.
Yeah.
He will come. But the thing to do, the prophet said, to my opinion, is to know your enemy. to know your enemy and train for the contest that you're going to have when you meet him, because you're going to meet him and know him, see, and know what his strength is.
Yeah.
And then train for the contest that when you do meet him, for there's one thing for sure, you're going to meet him. So train for the contest.
Amen.
Amen. You see, verse 8 tells us Satan's intentions, but verse 9 tells us how to handle it. Verse 9 in the Amplified Version said, but resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack. Rooted, established, immovable. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. But you see, that's one thing that Satan always tries to get us to believe. That we're the only one going through it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He tries to convince you that God don't love you, or you wouldn't be going through this trial, that God don't care for you, or you wouldn't be having such a hard time. But what he don't want you to know is it's happening all over the world.
That's right.
You do not suffer alone.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Do you love him tonight?
Yeah.
You do not suffer alone. So tonight we want to look at how to stop a lion's attack. If Satan acts like a lion when he attacks, then we're going to look at how a real lion attacks his prey.
Yeah.
Because you see, the best way to win the contest of strength is to know your enemy and to know his weapons.
Yeah.
We already know Satan got no weapons. Uh-huh. He's just a bluff.
Yeah.
So what he uses is a bluff.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. So let's just look at it for a few minutes now. The natural type of the spiritual. Now in nature. So you're out having a Kodak moment. And you're out in the woods, you know, but what you don't know is the whole time you've been out there doing selfies, uh-huh. a lion has been creeping up in the bushes.
Yeah.
Now he's real quiet.
Uh-huh.
You don't even know he's there. And so you're out here, you know, just taking a little selfie. And all of a sudden, a lion, I've got nothing against selfies, no. You know, this is what people understand anymore. You talk about a Kodak moment, what are they talking about?
Right.
But everybody knows what a selfie is, I promise you that.
Right.
So you're having this Kodak moment, and all of a sudden a lion comes out of the bushes after you. He catches you off guard, and that's where he wants you,
yeah.
is off guard. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to catch you off guard.
That's right.
That's where he wants you, is off guard. I wonder sometimes if that's why we're pounded with so much information, with all the social media and all the things that, oh my, that bombards our life. I wonder if it's not a part of Satan's tactics,
yeah.
to keep us off our focus.
Yes, sir.
Because right. sometimes we can sure get caught up looking at the wrong thing. And,
sure.
You know,
right.
you get caught up in the news, the next thing you know, you're mad and hornet that the Democrats or the Republicans or whoever.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Amen. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to catch you off guard. That's where Satan wants you, is off guard. Now, here's what the experts say to do when a lion charges. The first thing they say to do when you're sitting out there having a Kodak moment and all of a sudden a lion comes out of the bushes, the experts say, do not panic.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Maybe we ought to go to number two. If you're being charged by a lion, you'll be extremely frightened. I can say amen. Do everything you can to not panic.
Mm-hmm.
Staying calm and thinking straight can save your life.
Yeah.
Knowing what to expect can help you to stay calm. In other words, know your enemy.
Yeah, right.
Know his tactics.
Right.
Knowing what to expect can help you stay calm. For example, you know that the lion is going to growl when they charge.
Yeah.
The growl can shake the ground beneath you.
Mm-hmm.
The roar will almost deafen you. As I said this morning, 120 decibels. The prophet God said, you never feel the attack of a lion because his roar scares you to death.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. So you know that when he comes towards you, he's going to roar and his roar will almost deafen you.
Yeah.
But know that is normal for a lion attack. Do not run. Do not turn your back to the lion.
Yeah.
Lions are accustomed to their victims fleeing.
Yeah.
But standing firm and facing them bewilders them and confuses them.
Yeah.
In most cases, the charging lion will stop short and turn away
mm-hmm.
because they are not used to the prey standing their ground.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
Amen. They're not used to that. They want to roar. They want to growl. They want you running. Yeah. They want you to turn your back and run.
That's
but
right.
Do not do that.
Amen.
Stand your ground. You need to take charge of the situation and show the lion that you're a threat.
Amen.
You need to let the devil know tonight, I'm your threat.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
We are not an organization or a denomination. We are sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Born for such a time as this. And you need to let the devil know we have put you under our feet.
Amen.
A lion will try to bluff you with mock charges. But do not run. Stand your ground. But don't stand still. Turn so that you're side on side with the lion while clapping your hands, shouting, waving your arms. Sounds like good preliminary service to me. Clapping, shouting, waving your arms. This will make you appear bigger and more threatening to the lion.
Yeah.
And I know that's true. I was sitting in the study and you all were singing and clapping your hands. It felt like this house was full of people. Amen. You know that's the truth.
Amen.
We need to come in here and make a little bit of noise.
That's right.
We need to let the devil know whose side we're on.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Stand your ground, but don't stand still.
Amen.
Clap your hands. Wave your hands. Shout. This will make you appear bigger and more threatening to the lion.
Amen.
Let the lion know that he has a fight on his hands.
That's right.
You are not an easy target.
No.
That's the battle strategy. For stopping a roaring lion from attacking you. Then we see the natural types the spiritual. Then the Christian battle strategy. Satan wants to catch you off guard. That's where he wants you, is off guard.
Yeah.
That's why Paul said, he said it so well there in the scripture. He said, we are troubled on every side.
Yeah.
And you're over here, and it's over here, and you're over there, and it's over there. Troubled on every side. It's Satan's tactic.
Yeah.
To get you off guard. But Peter said, be sober, well-balanced, self-disciplined. Be alert, cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion. Hungry, seeking someone to devour. He's going to come in roaring. He's going to come in making a lot of noise to try to scare you. Well, the doctor says it's the worst case he ever saw. And the doctor says there's no hope. And this and that and oh my. He'll do anything he can to unnerve you.
Yeah.
To get your eyes off the promised word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to make a lot of noise. He's going to try to scare you. He's going to try to get you to run. He's going to try to get you to drop your weapon.
That's right.
What is your weapon? The word of God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. But Peter said in verse 9, resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack.
Amen.
Rooted, established, immovable.
Amen.
Immovable. It means stand still. Do not run. Do not turn your back to a roaring lion. Stand your ground. He's going to try to bluff you with mock charges, testing you, tempting you, trying to get you to turn back, trying to get you to turn around, trying to get you to run. But I say, little bride, do not run. Stand your ground.
Yes.
For the bride, the prophet said, the bride is made out of stuff that does not bluff.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let the devil know you got a fight on your hands, boy.
Yeah.
You try to take my wife. You try to take my family.
Come
you
on.
Try to take my experience. You got a fight on your hands.
Yeah. That's right.
Stand still. Amen. Amen. Stand still and clap your hands. Wave your arms. Shout the victory.
Yeah.
Before the battle even starts, like Joshua, like we said this morning, they shouted the victory before the walls ever fell down.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, do you love him?
Yeah.
We oppose Satan's attacks by standing up to him. We cannot panic or take flight, but rather we should offer resistance. We must not allow him to get the better of us.
Yeah.
You must let him know we are in control.
Amen.
Amen. We are not victims. I said we are not victims.
No,
it amazes me how this age, everybody is a victim.
That's right. Yeah.
Everybody does something because of something that happened to them.
Uh-huh.
But that's not us, friends.
No,
we are not victims. We are victors.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Then we should clap like victors. We should shout like victors.
Yes.
We
yes.
should live like victors because that's who we are. We are victorious.
Yes. That's right.
Amen. We must arm ourselves in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. Arm ourselves. How can we arm ourselves? I'll tell you how. God's done gave us weapons of our warfare.
That's right.
He's armed us to fight this battle.
Yes.
He would have known. Amen. You know the difference between a Boy Scout and a soldier? They both have uniforms.
Uh-huh.
They both get medals.
Uh-huh.
They both go on big wax campouts.
Uh-huh.
But you know the difference between Boy Scouts and soldiers? Boy Scouts ain't got no weapons.
Right.
But soldiers,
uh-huh,
they got weapons.
That's right.
They're able to fight.
Yeah.
I was preaching up in Chibok, Alaska. Brother Andrew Boy Scouts, the pastor up there. And I was preaching. I said, God ain't got no Boy Scouts in his army. I said, except for Brother Andrew. Amen. We're not Boy Scouts.
No, sir.
We're not Boy Scouts.
No.
We're not just dressed up playing church. Come on, somebody.
Right.
We're not just dressed up playing church. Got a medal here and got something there. No, no, no. We're God's army.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's equipped us to fight this battle.
Right.
The Bible says in Ephesians, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
That you may be withstand against the wiles of the devil. Mm-hmm. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, having done all to stand. Stand.
Yeah.
Stand.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When I was in the army, they gave me an M16, a rifle, with a banana clip. I think it held 18 rounds, if I remember right. They gave me a steel pot, a helmet. They gave me combat boots. They gave me an Alice pack.
Yeah.
They gave me a gas mask in case I come under a chemical gas attack.
Uh-huh.
They gave me all this stuff. I was a 203 man. You know, I went out on the rifle range and we were sighting in rifles. And I shot a couple of rounds with the sergeant. And the drill sergeant looked at me and he said, you'll be the grenade launcher in the unit. He said, you don't have to be accurate, just close. So the whole time I was in the Army, I carried an M203. It attached underneath the M16. Matter of fact, I was on a C-130 one time. We was going out on maneuvers, and I was on a C-130, and this Air Force guy was sitting across from me. He said, what in the world is that stuck underneath your rifle? I thought, I'm in the wrong branch of service. But they gave me all this stuff, an M16, an M203 grenade launcher, combat boots, a steel pot, and all this.
Yeah.
To defend my country, to fight for my country. Amen. But there's one thing the United States Army never gave me.
Come on.
The promise of a victory.
Amen.
But when I got in God's army,
yes,
he gave me the helmet of salvation.
Amen.
He shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel. He gave me a sword. He gave me the shield of faith. But there's one thing God's army gave me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That the United States Army never gave me. He gave me the promise of a victory.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Oh my, do you love him?
Amen.
Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. But notice, as I said last night, there is no armor for our backs.
Right.
For we are not to retreat. We are not to retreat. The armor in the back tells us we are not to retreat.
Yeah.
No armor in the back tells us we do not turn our backs. Yeah. We do not retreat from the devil.
Right.
Huh? The complete armor of God protects us from the front. We are moving forward into battle. Like the song says, keep on the firing line.
Yeah.
Keep on the firing line. We are ordered to stand firm. The word of God also tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen.
Yes.
When you trust the instructions of God to stand firm, the enemy will never see our back. He will see every attack defeated and fall to the ground. In defeat, he will know that you are a warrior prepared for battle. He will know that you are aware of the outcome. It is written, and God's word promises are tested and they are proven. God's promises are tested and they are proven. And the devil will know that we are warriors.
That's right.
We do not turn and run at the first roar of his growl, but we stand our ground, knowing where we come from, knowing where we're going, knowing what God has called us to do in this hour. Amen. Notice what the scripture says. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We are not to flee from him. You've got it backwards. We do not flee. We're not the one that turns and runs. He must turn and run.
That's right.
He must flee.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Look at these principles of God's word. That when David met Goliath. Now David goes out to check on his brothers. And when he gets out there, he finds that they are scared to death.
Yeah.
And he said, what in the world is this? This is God's army. What in the world are you doing? And all at once, this big giant runs out with a great roar.
Yeah.
Send me out a man.
Uh-huh.
I always thought God had a sense of humor. Goliath wanted a man. God gave him a boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, Israel was looking at the giant instead of the promise of who they was. They were God's army. Do you think a giant's going to defeat God's army?
No.
No. But they got their eyes off the promise and was looking at the giant. Amen. You see, the devil always wants to get your eyes off the word and to look at the giant. But God help us not to let situations and circumstances play on our emotions. We do not serve God by emotion.
That's right.
We serve God by faith.
Amen.
And when men and women quit looking at their sickness and their diseases and start looking to what God said about it, you will take over.
That's right.
You will take over. But as long as you see the giant, that's all you'll ever see.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. He had all Israel backed in the corner, shaking in their boots. This champion named Goliath, he was 9 foot 9 inches tall. From his hand to the tips of his fingers was 28 inches long.
Yeah.
That's 2 foot and 4 inches long.
Yeah.
My God, he could slap you on one side of the face and come all the way around and slap you on the other at the same time. And you go back and both sides of your face is red. They say, Goliath slapped you.
Right.
You talk about a hand 28 inches.
Yeah.
And when you're that big, he thought he had the edge over everybody. Mm-hmm. And when the devil thinks he's got the edge on you, then he'll sure try to poke it in you. That's what the prophet said. If he can get you tired and get you weary, that's when he wants to jump on your back.
That's right.
But you need to tell the devil, if you jump on my back, you've got a ride on your hands.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. But you see, the problem of it was, he might have did all this roaring against David's brothers, but he happened to roar before the wrong man.
Uh-huh.
For little David, he'd already slew one lion.
That's right.
He said, what's going on here? Who is this big scarecrow standing up there? You mean to tell me you guys will stand around and let that uncircumcised Philistine defile the armies of the living God?
Uh-huh.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
David, with his little sling, he said, I'll go meet him in the name of the Lord God of Israel.
Yeah.
He stops down at the brook, and David picks up 5 smooth stones.
Uh-huh.
Now, he didn't pick up 5 stones in case he missed 4 times.
Right.
He picked up 5 stones because Goliath had 4 brothers.
That's right.
And David said, I'll just kill a whole bunch of them.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And David didn't stand still. He ran towards Goliath. And you know the story. He let go of that slingshot, and the power of God grabbed hold of that and struck Goliath, the only place on his body that wasn't covered in armor.
Yep.
Let me tell you, God knows how to hit the target.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. But David stood out there. Why would such a boy, why could he stand against such a giant? Because David had a revelation. He was anointed by a prophet.
That's right.
To be king. And David thought, how can I die by the hand of a giant and reign as king at the same time?
That's
so
right.
He took God's word,
yes, sir,
over the situation.
Amen.
And if David done that standing on the promise that God gave him, anointed by a prophet, cannot we stand upon the promises God gave us? Through the anointed prophet.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. So your defense against the lion's attack is the word. Stand your ground with the word. Jesus was our example. Satan came against Jesus 3 different times. The prophet said with 3 wild attacks.
Yep.
He ran in on Jesus with his unbelief in God's word. But Jesus was the word.
Yes.
And the 3 charges of Satan against Jesus was trying to discredit God's word. Notice what he said to Jesus. When he come to Jesus, he said, if thou be. Mm-hmm. Ain't it funny how that little word if has such a powerful impact?
Sure.
And all he wants to do is put an if.
Yep.
And put an if he can get you to think, well, what if it won't work for me?
Yes.
Or what if it's not for me?
Yes, sir.
That's all he wants. That little bit of doubt will keep the promise away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you hearing me tonight?
Yeah.
That little bit of doubt. Well, Brother Darrell, but I've been praying for, I was praying for last week and I ain't no better. Let me tell you something. You get up in the morning, your back goes out. You can hardly make it. For 2 days you have to work like that. You're in miserable pain. Wednesday night, you drag yourself into church and you come up here to the altar and say, Brother Tony, my back, oh God, it's been out since Monday. I'm in terrible pain. Brother Tony prays for you. Instantly, the Spirit of God moves upon you. The pain is gone. You jump up shouting, praising God. You go out the door. You go to work on Thursday. You tell everybody, I was at church last night. I tell you, I couldn't hardly walk. And Brother Tony prayed for me and God moved for me. And I tell you, I don't have one symptom, not one pain in my, it ain't even sore. Friday, hallelujah, glory to God. Yeah. Saturday morning, you get up and you can hardly get out of bed. Yeah. Your back is hurting so bad. The pain is so great you can't stand it. Do you know what that means? Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing.
Amen. Right. That's right.
That's right.
It's got nothing to
Amen.
Do with it. We're not healed on how we feel.
That's right, brother.
We're healed by how we believe.
Amen. That's
Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Amen. But watch him come in. Three different times he come in with this trying to discredit God's word. But what did Jesus do? He gave us the example. He stood his ground. He took his Father's word and he said, it's written. It's written. It's also written. Yeah. Amen. Right back with the word of God to Satan. Amen. He took him up on the mountain and showed him all the kings of the world, the United States and everything. Said, these are all mine and I'll give all of them to you if you'll fall down and worship me. But what did Jesus say? It is written.
Amen.
Back to the Father's word. None of his power. Just using the word. Notice, he didn't use 1 ounce of his power.
Right.
He just used the word. Amen. What does that show us? It shows us that the weakest Christian can defeat Satan on thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, God, in his word. Is that right, Satan?
That's right.
Any man or woman tonight, if you're here and you're sick and needy, stand toe to toe with Satan and say, it's written, by his stripes I am healed.
Amen.
Stay with it.
Yes.
And watch what happens. Jesus defeated Satan by the written word, showing that it could be done. And it brings it to the baby Christian.
Yeah.
No matter how small, how little, or whatever more, you can say, it's written.
Yeah.
Amen. Not just to the pastor, not just to the evangelist, but to the smallest one in the congregation.
Right. Right. Yes.
The baby Christian in the congregation can say it's written. And that written word will defeat Satan anytime, any place. Anywhere.
Amen.
You see, it's a battle. You've got to know your enemy. You've got to know your armor. Your armor is the word.
Yes.
Your enemy is something that'll try to get you to reason against it.
That's right.
Amen. All these things on Facebook and all these things, you know, on YouTube and all these things trying to discredit God's prophet, trying to discredit this message. You know where that comes from.
Yeah. Right.
He's trying to get you just to doubt just a little bit.
That's right.
Just to get you off the foundation of who we are. But I say, stand firm.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Sometimes we wonder, why does attacks come? If he loves us, why not just build a hedge around us?
Mm-hmm.
But you see, God's not afraid to let attacks come. He's not afraid because each attack makes you stronger and more battle hardened. It makes you grow stronger, not weaker in the faith. The attacks that Satan, that God allows Satan to bring against us, is not put here to destroy us,
mm-hmm.
but it's put here to make us stronger Christians.
Yeah.
It's called battle-hardened warriors.
Amen.
You know, I went in the army in 1977. Vietnam ended in 69, if I believe it was. No, I'm sorry, 75. Vietnam ended in 1975. It's officially over 75. I went in the military in 1977. And when I was in my unit, I was in a combat unit, 18th Airborne Corps, up at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was on a 155 howitzer. And we was combat ready to be anywhere in the world, 24 hours ready to fight, constantly trained for combat. But in my unit was guys who had been in Vietnam. And they would sit and tell us things they experienced in Vietnam, and we would listen to them. You know why we listened to them? Because they had been there.
Yes.
They had been in battle.
Yes, sir.
And they was telling me, I hate to say it, but it's the truth, that they was telling me how that some of the officers just out of the academy would be sent into Vietnam, and some of them would die from friendly fire because they had no experience.
Yeah.
And the people would take them out before they killed the whole unit because they wouldn't listen. They thought they knew more than somebody else. But this man had been in the trench. He knew the tactics. He'd been in the battle. He knew what Charlie tried to do. That's what they called the Viet Cong, was Charlie. They understood these things. They had been there. They saw his attack.
Right.
Oh, God. Thank God for the battle-hardened warriors that we have among us who stood the ground, who's been in the battle, who knows what they're talking about. God help us to learn from them.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. The battle. The battle hardened. It makes you grow. It makes you stronger in the faith. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished to your brethren that are in the world. Steadfast is translated from a Greek military term signifying standing firm without moving, even under attack from the enemy.
Yeah.
For true Christians, we stand fast in faith because we have faith and confidence in the one who is greater than he who is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Brother Darrell, I tell you, when that attack comes, but just remember who you are. Remember who it is that's in you.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Let our faith, let our conviction be strong. Strong about God's word.
Yes.
Military professionals know that soldiers become skilled at resisting the enemy when the frequency of attacks they encounter increases. Experienced troops are referred to as battle-hardened soldiers. With every attack from our adversary, we are strengthened, our spiritual resolve to remain steadfast. What more? Our Heavenly Father cares for us and is watching over us, even during our spiritual battles. And severe trials. In similar manner, God is refining and strengthening true Christians.
Amen.
True Christians.
Amen.
Did not Peter say, the trial of our faith, more precious than gold?
Yeah.
You think if you, I don't know what gold is an ounce, maybe $3,000 an ounce, I don't know. I seen something the other day talking about to go to $5,000 an ounce. Don't be selling your wedding band. And you think, if this whole stage was full of gold, and you can have all this platform of gold bars, or you can have a trial.
Come on.
The trial of your patience.
Right. Yeah.
Now, which would you take? Would you take all this gold and go cash it in? Or would you take the trial?
Mm-hmm.
But you see, if you've got a true revelation of what God wants to accomplish in your life, you take the trial over the gold.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because you'll benefit more from that trial than you would from that gold, because it may be $5,000 today and $50 tomorrow.
That's right.
Amen. There's no guarantee. But with this, there's a guarantee that if God allows this to come into our life, he has a purpose, because God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Right.
So he has a purpose in doing this. Trials are a part of the Christian experience and should not cause our faith to waver or to weaken. With every attack from our adversary, we are getting stronger in the faith. Then why does God allow the attacks to come? It strengthens our faith, because God is always more real after a trial.
That's right.
Than he ever was before a trial.
That's true.
You know, when I was a young preacher, I preached God open blinded eyes and make the lame walk. I believed that with all my heart, Brother Black.
Yeah.
But I never experienced it. I never seen it. But I believed it and I preached it.
Yeah.
God opens blinded eyes. But when my daughter was in the accident and she was blinded and she was in a wheelchair and they told me she'd never walk again, and I watched God come on the scene and touch my daughter, and she got up out of a wheelchair that they said was impossible, and she started talking, which they said was impossible. She started swallowing, but they said that was impossible.
Yeah.
And they said she'd never see again, and she started seeing again.
Uh-huh.
And they said it was a miracle.
Amen.
But I tell you today, I can stand here and tell you, God opens blinded eyes with a more sure, real prophecy, because I've experienced it.
Amen.
I know it. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Right.
And many times I'll go with her, we'll go take her shopping or something like that, and she'll buy something, and she'll go up to the counter, and she'll open up her billfold and pull out a card or pull out money to pay for it. And I'm thinking, that cash register, that lady right there, that cash, she has no idea. She's looking at a miracle.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
And God's more real after the trial,
yes, sir,
than he ever was before the trial. When the enemy attacks us, what are you going to do? Back down, compromise, not a real soldier? No, sir. No, sir. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you.
Amen.
What kind of mind did he have? He stayed with the word.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, friends, don't let the Reverend Brim said, don't let the devil kick you around like a football. That's the trouble of it today. Another Christian person sitting here sick, if they only knew that they're sons and daughters of God, now living with Christ. You not will be. You are now sons and daughters of God.
Yep. Reverend
said, I didn't come to mix up a doctor, but I come to straighten one out, to get away from this fear and from this scare that you don't know who you are. He said, you're not going to be, but you are now sons and daughters
That's
of
right.
God. You always were sons and daughters
Amen.
Of God. Not to mix up a doctrine,
uh-huh.
but to straighten one out.
That's right.
To give you an understanding of who you are. You've got the Pentecostal blessing.
Yes.
The day of Pentecost fully come 1900 years ago and will never leave till Jesus comes. Now is the hour. Now is the time. Now is the acceptable hour. Amen. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is when healings are to take place.
Yes.
Now is when miracles
yes.
are to take place.
Amen.
Now is Christ is revealing himself in his people.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Here we are now, not in the future. You see, the same God that was behind the mask of Jesus is now behind the mask of the bride.
That's right.
You remember just a few years ago during COVID when we was all having to wear these masks. And I was going somewhere to preach, and so I go into a gas station. Of course, you had to have a mask on, you know. I was standing over, got me something to eat for the journey. You get bored driving, so I got me a candy bar, you know, and a Coke, and something to eat while I was driving. So I was standing there waiting to pay for it. And there was a line, you know, had to be 6 foot apart. You remember all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was standing there, and this guy comes walking in. And the lady behind the cash register, she looks at him, she goes, why, John, you've changed your mask. Apparently, he must have been wearing the same mask for months. And he put on a different mask. And it was so noticeable that she said something about it. She said, John, you've changed your mask. And when she said it, I about shouted past the tater chips. Because it struck me, that's exactly what God did.
Amen.
He wore the mask of Jesus.
Yes.
But he's just changed his mask. The God that dwelled in the body of Jesus is now dwelling in the body of the bride.
That's
making
right.
him the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ revealed himself. We are now, not in the future. The devil always will see. The devil don't care if you see what Jesus done.
Right.
And he don't care if you see what Jesus will do. But what he don't want you to do is see what he's doing right now. If he can keep you blinded to what he's doing right now, you'll never come to your position. But I say, stay with the word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He went, that's Catholicism. Someday, some happy day. Why not today?
That's right.
Amen. Now is the day. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the people. This is the place.
Amen.
Right now. This is the day.
Amen.
God has chosen you for such a time as this in Van Buren, Arkansas, to be a witness against this generation.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He placed you here for a purpose. Well, we're just a small church. That don't matter. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have two on fire than 2,000 just sitting and look at me.
Come on. Right. Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, do you love him?
Amen.
This is place right now. This is when we can make the battlefront.
Yes.
This is when Satan comes in to try to push us off the word that we can stand our ground. And I tell you, it pleases God. I believe it pleases God when we remind him of his word.
Amen.
When we stand on his word.
Yes, sir.
When we repeat his word back to him.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Enoch walked with God. And one day, the Bible said he was not because God took him. Because he had this, before God, he had this testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God.
Yes.
And Brother Brim said, you please God by keeping his word.
That's right.
And Enoch walking with God, I don't know what they talked about, but it must have been something. God must have revealed something to Enoch. Because God said, I think I'll go home. And Enoch said, I'll just go with you. Somewhere in that journey, the revelation struck Enoch that whatever God had the ability to do, so could he.
Yes.
Right.
Because why? Because of his strength? No. Because of his education? No. Because he was walking with God.
That's right.
He was walking with God.
That's right.
As you walk in the light, as he is in the light.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. From glory to glory, from glory to glory, we're being changed.
Amen.
Walking in the light of his word.
Amen.
Lord, do you love him?
Amen.
Brother Bram says, as we close, Brother Bram said, the other day, I believe a few Sundays ago, there was a man who had a dream. And he dreamed that the devil was a little bitty old thing and run up to him. And he said, boo. And when he said boo, he jumped back. The man jumped back. And when he jumped back, he said, the devil got bigger. He said, boo. And he jumped back and the devil got bigger.
Yeah.
And finally, the devil got as big as he was and was going to overcome him. And no, he knew he had a fight. He knew he had to fight with something. He knew he had a fight on his hands. He had to fight with something. So he looked around. He couldn't find nothing to fight with. So he just picked up the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And the devil said, boo. But this time, the man, with the word of God in his hand,
yes,
he didn't jump back.
Uh-huh.
He stood firm
yeah.
in his position.
Right.
And he said, boo.
That's right.
He booed right back at him. And when he did, the devil got little. And more little, and more little. And finally, he got so small that he beat him to death with the word.
Amen.
He took the word and beat him to death. And I say tonight, don't let the devil make you jump back. You stand your ground.
Amen.
You take that word,
yes,
and you beat him down tonight.
Amen.
I am an overcomer. I am a Christian.
Amen.
I am predestinated.
Amen.
I am a son of
Amen.
God. No weapon formed against me will
yes.
prosper. I am healed. I am saved. I am free. I am forgiven. I am delivered.
Amen.
This is my day, my hour. I have the Pentecostal blessing.
Yes, sir.
And I say, boo, devil.
Amen.
Boo, devil. Boo.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Say, boo, devil.
Boo,
boo, devil. Boo. Oh, do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Oh, saints of God, stand your ground.
Yes.
We don't have to back up to the devil.
No,
we don't have to back up to nobody.
That's right.
We are sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
This is our position. This is our place.
Yes.
This is who we are.
That's right.
If Sam Walton's boy can go in Walmart and get the Doritos, you can go into God's house
yeah.
and get the blessings that belongs to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's true.
It's an open door. It's an open door. John topped the bride, and John heard a voice. And what did the voice say? Come up higher.
That's right.
Come up higher. He's calling for us to come up higher. There's more revelation. There's more word. There's
yes.
more anointing. There's more things that God wants to do with this bride. For
yes.
he said, once more this world will hear from God. It'll be through his bride.
That's
for the
right.
final voice to the final age.
Yes, sir.
Right. Is God speaking through his bride.
Amen.
She'll have thus saith the Lord, or keep still.
That's right.
This is the hour, friends. Amen. What she said has already been said in the word. Amen. And she will return in the last days. The pure word will return with the pure light. And we will return to the power of Pentecost to welcome back our Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. What she says has already been said in the word. And she is saying it now. You see this bride, she's not imperfect. She's a perfect bride. She don't have one eye missing, one arm missing. She don't have 10 fingers on one hand. She's got a voice.
Yes, sir.
She's got a voice. She's not a perfect bride dressed as a bride, and yet she has no voice. That wouldn't be perfect. That wouldn't be a perfect bride.
Yeah.
But she is a perfect bride.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
amen. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo. I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. You're nothing but a bluff, and I have had enough. I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. The Bible plainly tells all your schemes will surely fail. I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. You say I'm sicker than I feel, but by his stripes I'm healed. I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. I've got some news for you. Your roaring days are through. I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Well, if God's word never fails, we're sending you back to hell. I said, boo, devil, boo, devil, boo. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, isn't he wonderful tonight? Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, Lord. We are so grateful to be able to gather here with people of precious like faith. Lord, that we can take the word of God and minister to the hearts of the people. And Lord, that we exercise our ABCs. We accept it. We believe it. We confess it. Lord, believe that every promise of your word is true. And as the enemy comes in like a lion, Lord, may we take these instruments. May we take these weapons. May we take these words of edification that's been given to us to use against his attack. For Lord, we know he will come. He'll try to come through sickness or discouragement or fear or some kind of phobia. Oh, God, never been such a time of phobia. But Lord, it's written in the word that in the last days men's hearts would fail for fear.
Yes.
So Lord, we know that he comes in with these things, trying to discredit God's word, trying to get us to look somewhere else, trying to get us to throw up our hands, trying to get us to quit. But oh God, may these saints of God here in Van Buren, Arkansas, may they stand firm upon the word of God. May we never turn back. May we never drop down. May we never stop going forward. But oh God, may we shout the victory. May the shout of victory be in the camp. I pray pray, oh God, let the Pentecostal blessings rain down upon this church. For what is it, God? It's the very life of Christ on display. Oh God, let it rain in the hearts of our wives, rain in the hearts of our daughters, our sons, our fathers. Oh, grant it tonight, Lord, from the pulpit to the back door. Let it rain upon us, God. Set us on fire that the world can come and watch us burn, that they may know that we have been with Jesus. Lord, that's what they said about Peter. That's one thing. He's ignorant. He's unlearned. But there's one thing we know. That man has been with Jesus. Oh, God, let him see it, Father. Let him see Christ in us. Let him see that light burning in us, dear God. Oh, that we are soldiers of the cross, chosen for such an hour as this. We did not volunteer for this army, but you chose us, hallelujah, to be soldiers before the foundation of the world. And you've equipped us, dear God, to fight the good fight of faith. God, you never put us here to lose. You never put us here to fail. But you put us here with the confidence that we can overcome.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray tonight for my brothers, for my sisters, those that are able to be here this weekend, God, that those that run in a fever, I believe I heard some child running a fever. I pray, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the same anointing that gave my daughter back to me, may that same anointing move upon this child, God, and by the rising of the sun, may every sign of the fever be gone.
Yes.
Grant it tonight, Lord God. We commit his life into your hands for your glory. Oh, there's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing that you can't do tonight. So, Lord, we're just going to thank you, Father. We're just going to thank you for all that you've done for us, for all that you've given us tonight. And, Lord, we're going to exercise our ABCs, accept it, believe it, and confess it, Lord. Bless your children, dear God. Lord, those that would have a need among us tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as that little sister just took her deliverance from the alcohol and walked away. May we just take, dear God, from thy great arcade tonight, whatever it is we have need of, Lord. It's given to us, freely given. Oh, God, don't just fill our cup, Lord, but fill our trucks tonight, God. And overflow with the blessings of God. Rain down upon us, Lord. Oh, grant it tonight. Grant it tonight. We love you, Lord Jesus. We lift our voices to you. We lift our hearts to you. We give our all to you tonight.
Yes,
do you love him, friends? Just, can we just slip up our hands tonight?
Thank you, Lord.
Just tell you in your own way, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for. Thank you for the revelation of this message. Thank you, dear God, for the weapons of warfare. Thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the promise of victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to my prayer. I just want to thank you for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came along, made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you've heard my prayer. I just want to thank you for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came along, made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Well, you know, but now I can't sing a lick, but I love to sing for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He's been so good to us.
Yes, sir.
He's been so good to us. Amen. I remember when Jessica was hurt so bad. She had tubes out coming out all over her body. Just little things that they'd take her out of her bed and they'd lay her in my arms and I'd sit there and hold her. She couldn't speak. She had no movement. She just laid there. I would sing that song in moments like this. I sing out a song.
Yeah.
I sing out a love song to Jesus.
Yeah.
I sit there and sing that to her. Because you see, whether on the mountain or whether in the valley, it doesn't change his love for us.
Right.
And I remember when we came home from the hospital. We walked in the door 68 days later. We closed the door and we was home. And I sat down on the couch with Jessica. And I started singing that same song in moments like this.
Amen.
I sing out a song. Amen. Because no matter what we face in life, his love for us is the same.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're a Christian tonight?
Yes.
Are you going to keep on the fire line?
Amen.
You know that song, don't you, buddy?
Yes.
Come and sing it. Can we just worship him a minute? Yes. God bless you, saints. I hope I've not been long-winded.
Oh, that's good.
Amen. He's just so good to us.
If you're in the battle for the Lord,
the labor for the master here. Places and times where the Lord confirmed His word and showed you that if you don't get afraid and you believe His promise, He'll come through for you.
That's right.
Amen. And so I was just thinking, as we go on, we should begin to accumulate these experiences like these soldiers.
Yeah.
Hardened battle soldiers saying, you know what? I know how this works. I've been here and I know what to do.
Yes.
Right? And it's like you said, you have some of these young guys that come in and they don't know what they're doing and they're going to mess things up. Sad, but you know, just stand there, hold your ground, don't get scared, don't run. I remember whenever I went in the hospital room there to pray for Brother Brian Melton's sister, they took her out of ICU and put her in the hospice room, and it was the people in there, just like I said before, looked like drug dealers and everything, and it was so spiritually dark in there. And I went in there and I thought, who am I? What am I to do in here? But I remember hearing Brother Branham, and I remember some experiences there, and so I just, you know, feeling like I had nothing that I could do to change the situation, but I knew God's promises.
Yes.
And so just under my breath, while everybody was just all there talking, and it was just under my breath, I just said, Lord Jesus, I was breathing His name, You'll open a door, Lord Jesus, open a door, you know. It took about 15 minutes, and boom, God opened that door, you know, and so... You want to kind of remember those things.
Yes, sir.
When the enemy comes at you, don't run.
Yeah.
It's God's promise. Stand there.
Amen.
Stand there. Believe it. If all you can do is just under your breath say, Lord Jesus, you promised.
Yeah.
And I what he said about confessing God's word back to him, some of the most glorious times in prayer is when you go back and you tell God, you said.
Yeah, that's right.
You said this. Isn't that right,
yes,
Brother Daniel? This is what your promise is. He loves for you to minister back to Him.
Amen.
What He's equipped you with.
Yeah.
Amen. And so it's so good. Just remember your ABCs, right? I know Brother Brim said always. It means I always believe Christ, but we heard tonight that it's to accept, believe, and then confess.
That's right.
Amen. And that's what we should do. You know, I've seen times, you know, going and talking to people and sharing the word with them. And it's the ones who just really, that word just stirs them. You see things happen in their lives. And then you talk to the other people and they're like, yeah, that's good, you know. And they don't really reject it, but it doesn't do anything, right? We want to receive the word completely.
Yes,
I hope when we get there on the other side that God will let us look back over history and see these things like a movie play out or something like that. Because I was just wondering, when David was slinging that, you know what those things sound like? you know. And I just wonder if on that one, when he slung that thing, if it sounded like a 30-06 going off. Could you imagine all those Philistines like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, but maybe it wasn't. But, you know, to dramatize it, whatever.
Yeah.
And when that one come out of that sling, that was a different one to deal with. Amen.
Yeah. Sure.
And so we gotta know that God's behind it.
Yes.
Amen. God's behind it. So I've told this testimony before, and I mentioned this because something he said there a while ago. But in 1999, I had started having knee pain. Mm-hmm. And we just had a storm, and my roof needed to be replaced because this hail beat the shingles. And so we had a check for insurance to pay for replacing the roof, but it wasn't going to do it. It wasn't there enough. And so I was faced with I guess I'll get up there and do it. And, you know, my roof's pretty steep. And I was like, how can I do that? My knees, I can't hardly walk sometimes. They hurt so bad, especially my left one. And so I was, John Hollis, I mentioned him last night. He would come back to my desk at work, and we'd fellowship around the Word at lunch. And I couldn't even, sitting in a chair, I couldn't even lift my leg out. It was it was too painful.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting there, and I was telling him, you know, about that. And I said to him, I said, but by his stripes, I'm healed. And as I said that, it was like a warm, wet feeling just went right down over my, and all that was gone, and I guess my eyes got about that big around. I looked at John like that, and he looked at me, and I just started moving my leg out like that, you know, instantly healed.
Yeah, amen.
And so I was rejoicing. Well, 2 days later, I couldn't hardly walk again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I did? There was another guy I worked with. He was actually my boss at the time. I didn't go, oh, no. We were walking across the street to the building I'm in now and having to walk a long ways, and I'm limping, and I start telling him.
Mm-hmm.
2 days ago, John Hollis, and I said, and God healed me. You know, and I said, now look, it hurts worse some more. And I said, but by stripes, I'm healed anyway, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long it took, day or two. I don't know. God took it away, and I never had to have anything done for my knees.
Amen.
So don't back up.
Yes, sir.
Right? Don't back up. Brother Ram said, look, you feel good after you have prayer, and then a couple of days later you start feeling bad. That's the best sign in the world you've been healed.
Yeah.
Right? And so we want to remember those things.
Amen.
Must have been, you know, I know Jesus went through trials like we did, but could you imagine? He knew that everything he set out to do,
mm-hmm.
that Satan could not defeat him.
Yeah.
Can we believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be tested and tried. But as we set out to follow God's word,
mm-hmm.
to know that every enemy has to fall.
Yes.
Amen. I believe that's what God has for us.
Amen.
Amen. So really appreciate that. Now is our time.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Not some other time later on.
Amen.
And I'll finish by saying this, that it is. It's with Enoch. It was the walk.
Mm-hmm.
The walk is something we do every day.
Yep.
It's not something to do just when you come to church. But the walk that Enoch did was a daily thing that went on, and that's what took him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we just appreciate Brother Darrell, and just ask the Lord to replenish him completely. His flight doesn't go back out until tomorrow evening. And so I'm going to try and have some lunch with him tomorrow with some of the brothers and different things. But let's just pray, and not only for him and for his sister, remember that request.
Yeah.
He also has a brother-in-law that needs some serious prayer. I think he broke a hip, and it's been quite a while now, and he still can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'll pray for that too.
Amen.
Amen. And so, Brother Tim, you got a song we can sing to go out?
More covers?
Yeah, that's good. Amen. That makes happy.
Amen.